Ten Powers got me looking for family superpowers. This is 12-year-old Danubav from Reading. Ready?
Yes.
9 times 3?
27.
51 times 6?
306.
78 times 159?
12,402.
Wow, that's clever! Here's another clever superpower. The Nest Learning Thermostat means you can control your heating and hot water from your smartphone wherever you are. Clever, eh? Search Family Superpowers to find out more. You have the N power. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we get together every single Wednesday, discuss sports in a little bit different fashion than a lot of sports shows do. You know, we're going to actually try to give you some common sense. We're going to actually try to make sense of some of the sports world. I know there's a million sports shows out there that you could be listening to, but we appreciate you joining us here every single week. You know, if you would like to recommend the podcast to someone, and we would appreciate that so much if you did, there are a number of places that they can go download the podcast. Of course, they can go to the normal places. You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play, any of those places. Or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, and we do always post a link there, as well as an article or two every single week that you are going to want to check out. One just went up yesterday. Not sure if you saw. Of course, big news with, you know, Colin Kaepernick not standing for the anthem. And here locally in Denver, we saw Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall. He also took a knee and did not stand for the national anthem. We put up an article on that. It's getting a little bit of reaction. Reaction is either you love it or you really, really hate it. But you might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check out that article and see what you think. I think that you will enjoy it. Yes, it's satirical. It's funny because, you know, I put these articles up. And it's funny because if you're a listener, you're in on the joke. Like, you get it. But we have a number of people that aren't in on the joke, and they see it on social media. You know, they see it on Twitter or whatever, and they click on it. And then they go over there, and they write me this, like, long comment. I've read this article, and I'm not sure that's true at all. I don't think that really did happen. You know, I'll write an article, and it might be about American Pharoah, the racehorse, and how he's really mad at another racehorse, and he's talking trash. And somebody will go on and comment, I'm not sure a horse can actually talk. Thanks. I just want you all to know that when I see those comments, because like I said, my listeners are in on the joke. Like, you all get it. You all understand it. When I see those comments, there was actually a comment yesterday on that article about Brandon Marshall. Those are what make my day. The fact that there are people out there that think I'm actually breaking that news, oh, you make the world a better place. You're just dumber than a bucket of hammers, and I love you for it. You are like manna from heaven. You're that same person that is driving down the highway, and you get stuck because of construction, and you didn't see the cones in time, and you had to go off onto the edge of the road. Because why didn't they put any cones up? There have been cones the last 10 miles. They should have had some sort of sign telling me there's been signs literally for the last 20 miles. I don't understand why there weren't any flashing lights. Look, there's flashing lights right here so bright you could get a tan off of them, and you still didn't get it. Those are the same people that go on Daily Dose and look at the article and go, I don't know if Brandon Marshall really did that at all. I love you people. Just a bunch of morons. Gotta love it. Not you, though. Not you, though. You get it. You understand it. That's why you're here right now. Hey, also, be sure to stop by our podcast network site, rogueintel.com. A number of different podcasts over on Rogue Intel that you are going to want to check out, you are going to get addicted to, and you are going to be listening to every single week. Hey, today on the show, we've got a full show. I'm not going to lie to you. We've got a packed show today on the Daily Dose. We're going to break down that first full weekend of football. Number of different things that came out, and how good was that? I mean, Saturday, just all day college football. And we'll talk a little bit about some of that. And of course, the NFL on Sunday, just all day. Even some on Monday nights. It's just really, really good. Today, we're going to be looking at the biggest overreactions to week one in the NFL, and we're going to be looking at the biggest disappointments of week two in college football. Plus, of course, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You never want to go anywhere for that. You always got to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. And trust me on this one today, you're going to like this one. You've got to make sure you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5 today. But first, we have a quick email that we do have to get to. Did take an email in today that I want to make sure that I read. Here is the email. Hello, Clint. Why don't you cover MMA in your podcast? Is it because you don't consider it a sport? And if so, why? That comes to us from Mike in Austin. Mike, I have to say thanks very much for dropping a line to us here at the Daily Dose. A couple of things, my thoughts on MMA. No, it's not that I don't consider it to be a sport. I'll be honest with you. I'm coming around on MMA. I genuinely am. But I was raised on boxing. And so I still, I know it's stupid, I still have a soft spot for the sweet science of boxing. There is something to be said for the art of hitting and not getting hit. See, you don't see that often in MMA. Sometimes you do a little bit. But MMA sometimes feels more like a backyard brawl where both fighters end up rolling around in the driveway. See, I grew up with an affinity for fighters that avoided getting hit just as successfully as they hit their opponents. Guys like Ray Robinson, Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, all those guys, even like, you know, in the modern days, the Pernell Whitakers and guys like that. I watched those guys. They avoided getting hit. And I'm not necessarily saying the Floyd Mayweather's where he never gets hit and never touches the other guy either. But I do have an affinity for those guys that avoided getting hit. There was something to be said for that. And, you know, just using their fists. Now, if you go to the website, if you go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com, I believe, and I'll be honest, I'm not always perfect at this. I believe that you can go over to the sidebar, you can click on MMA over there, and that will actually bring up either the podcasts or the articles that we have done on MMA. And like I said, I'm sure I've missed one or two. I'll probably not hit every single one of those, but you can go back and listen to some of the podcasts that we've done where we've actually discussed MMA. We've recently started to talk more and more about that. You'll see we are starting to get on board more and more with MMA because it is absolutely crushing boxing right now. It's not even close. And it seems like there is a meaningful fight at least every month or two coming out in MMA where we have a fight in boxing worth watching, I don't know, once every 2, 3, 4 decades. I don't know. It's a while out there before we really find a good fight. And we're starting to see more and more recognizable names where it's not just, yeah, this guy you've never heard of is fighting this guy you've never heard. I mean, some of the MMA guys are starting to become household names. That makes it more interesting. Hey, if the Daily Dose listeners want MMA, we'll talk a little more MMA. Appreciate your email, Mike. Thanks for sending that to us. Like I said, we are coming around a little bit more on MMA. Hey, if the Daily Dose listeners want MLB, if you want more Major League Baseball, then I'll probably have to have John come on and talk more Major League Baseball. If you want professional wrestling, then I'm not talking professional wrestling. I'm not going to talk about pretend and make-believe sports. Pro wrestling. Get out of here with that stuff. We're not going to do that. But we will. Yes, we're starting. I'm warming up to it. Be patient. I'm coming around. Speaking of the fiasco that is boxing, since middleweight champ Canelo Alvarez literally pees down his leg every time the word Gennady Golovkin comes up, Gennady Golovkin was forced to fight welterweight contender Kell Brook on Saturday in Brook's hometown of London, England. Not only can Gennady Golovkin not get a fight against middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez, he has to go fight Kell Brook, who is a welterweight. That's a difference of, what, 160 and 147? That's a difference of 13 pounds. He has to go fight Kell Brook in Kell Brook's hometown of London, England. So Golovkin goes to London. He fights Kell Brook. I watched the fight. I watched it when it was live, which, of course, was like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon here, mountain time. It was a competitive fight for the first few rounds. It actually was. Kell Brook was slick. He was boxing. He was outpointing Golovkin for a few rounds. Now, Golovkin was chasing. He looked like a shark just kind of circling and trying to find him. And it was a competitive fight for a few rounds. The judges claim they had Kell Brook up on the fight early, through 4 rounds maybe. And then Golovkin started to take over. And as soon as he started to catch Kell Brook with some pretty heavy shots, they ran over and threw the towel. Why? Well, it seems that Gennady Golovkin had actually broken Brook's orbital bone back in the first round, and they were kind of worried that Kell Brook might lose his eyeball. Like I said, Brook was fighting a pretty good fight, but he had no business being in the ring with Triple G. Shouldn't be in the ring with Gennady Golovkin. But this is where boxing is today. It continues to shoot itself in the foot again and again and again. You know, I don't know if it would be a huge fight, But Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin might generate a little interest, but Canelo's afraid of it. He doesn't want to do. So what does boxing do? Boxing tells Canelo Alvarez, hey, you have to fight Gennady Golovkin. I'm afraid to fight Gennady Golovkin. It doesn't matter. That's the rule. He's the number one contender. You have to fight him. But I'd rather fight junior middleweight Liam Smith. Well, yeah, okay. Then go ahead and do that. That's fine. That is what boxing has become. It doesn't matter who the contenders are. It doesn't matter what the crowd wants, what the public wants. Boxing does whatever it wants, and it's a complete mess. Boxing has turned into baseball. And you know how I feel about baseball. Heading down that direction with boxing makes me sad. Yes, it makes me start to lean more and more toward MMA. So you want more MMA? Yeah, you might be getting it more and more. Hey, we've got a number of things to get to. We've got NFL, we've got college football, a lot of stories we've got to get to, plus our Daily Dose Top 5. Make sure that you stick around for that. We will be right back.
What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian. Join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture. Everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
You know, we had such a great first weekend of college football. And then week two, college football came back with like this boring thud. You know, in week one, we had four different games that featured both teams in the top 25. We had four other games with a ranked team against a team that was just on the outside of the top 25. Week two, yeah, not one single game featuring two ranked opponents. It's a bad time to do that because we have the NFL starting. Like, you're trying to bring in people. Hey, look what we did last week. Look at all the great games we had last week. Oh, NFL's coming this week? Yeah, we're going to put our worst product out there. Kind of a disappointing second week. And, you know, when I was looking around at the college football landscape right now, we're just underway. We've just gotten started. Two games in. But there have already been some teams that have disappointed us just a little bit. Some more than others. But there have been some disappointing teams. I want to take a look at some of the teams that are disappointing us right now in the world of college football. Long way to go. Long season to go. I mean, we'll be going clear till New Year's Day. Or whenever they are going to play the national championship this year. Who knows when that'll be. But there have already been some teams that have disappointed us a little bit. First team I want to talk about, they're not that much of a disappointment to me because I said I thought this was coming, but just me. The Clemson Tigers. So far, they've beat unranked Auburn 19-13. And then this past week, they just slipped by Troy 30-24. Remember, prior to the season, all we heard about was how Deshaun Watson and this Clemson offense were going to be completely unstoppable? They're having a tough time even scoring points. There was talk, Clemson's going to put up 35 points a game. They haven't scored 35 points yet. And don't tell me this great team that they're playing. Well, I mean, they played Auburn. Well, yeah, but Auburn's not what Auburn has been in the past. Well, they played Troy. I don't know who that is. Troy Smith. I don't know. I don't know who Troy is. You didn't play like the Trojans. You played Troy. Deshaun Watson says once this offense gets clicking, it's going to be scary. Well, maybe, but you know what? You've got Louisville on October 1st. You better get it together real quick, because otherwise, it's going to be scary for you. Louisville looks like they might be the real deal. I like Louisville a lot. Clemson better figure some things out. No, they haven't lost yet. They haven't lost yet. But remember, there were also many people voting them as a number one preseason over Alabama. Better figure some things out real quick. LSU. Yes, Louisiana State University. Once again, you know, you can't tell me LSU doesn't recruit quarterbacks. You can't tell me they're not getting some of the top quarterbacks in the country. What on earth is going on at LSU? Every single year, we see LSU. Man, if they just get some decent quarterback play. They finally got a, I don't even want to say a good, they finally got Jamarcus Russell, and they went and won the whole thing. Imagine if they just got, I don't know, Cardale Jones, another fat quarterback. Just get a fat quarterback at LSU, you could win championship year after year after year after year. Can't do it. Once again, this year, they go down to Wisconsin. Why? They don't have a quarterback. What does Les Miles do to these quarterbacks? He has to be getting top talent. What's he doing to them? Is he like send them to the Rex Ryan quarterback camp? I don't understand. Les Miles, once again, might get fired. Every year, Les Miles might get fired. I feel like I've said that for, the last 10 years. Southern Cal, big disappointment out at USC. How many times do we have to see the USC Trojans do something stupid? It seems like every single week, I watch them take dumb penalty after dumb penalty. And it's one thing when you've got Reggie Bush and you've got Matt Leinart and you go out there and say, hey, we're kind of tough, we're kind of physical, that's just the way we do business, we're winning game after game after game, and maybe we take an unsportsmanlike here or there, but it's because of our physical nature. It's the Trojan way. We get after you. That's not the case anymore. You got beat 52-6 by Bama, and you were still out there taking stupid penalties. They took another stupid penalty this last week against an FCS team. That's not the Trojan way. Well, if it is, I didn't realize Trojans were so stupid. Just undisciplined. It makes no sense. You're not good enough to be that stupid. USC has been a big disappointment so far this year. A little bit strange, but Georgia. Georgia has been a disappointment this year. You know, University of Georgia fired longtime head coach Mark Richt. They were tired of Mark Richt not being able to beat Florida. They go out and they hire Alabama defensive coordinator Kirby Smart. Well, it doesn't look so smart right now. People in Georgia are starting to grumble a little bit. Week one, they put together a pretty decent win against North Carolina. I don't know if we should be that enthused about them beating North Carolina. Yes, North Carolina looks like they're okay. They're pretty solid. Larry Fedora's doing a pretty good job back with the Tar Heels. So you get that win, and Georgia looks like they're okay with Kirby Smart. And then this past week, they almost got beat by FCS team Nichols. Not Nichols State. Nichols has now dropped the state. So if you hear someone say Nichols State, that's actually not correct. They have dropped the state. It's now just Nichols. Can't add the state back on. I don't like the state being off that. Nichols sounds like a clown at a kid's party. All right, next up, kids, Nichols and his bag of balloon animals. I don't care for just Nichols. Either way, Georgia nearly got beat by Nichols. If not for kind of a little bit of a shaky call, Georgia gets beat by Nichols. Can you imagine what Kirby Smart would be hearing down in Georgia? Oh, goodness. Things between the hedges would be getting rough. They're getting rough as it is, but Georgia is a team that's just kind of taking a step back. We thought, hey, maybe top 15 team. They still got some talent down there. Say what you will about Mark Richt. He can recruit. Yeah, almost got beat by Nichols the Clown. Not good. I'll give you another big disappointment so far in college football. Yes, I know. Just 2 weeks in. Way too early to be announcing disappointments, but we're going to do it anyway. When you have your own podcast, you can do what you want. The Big 12. Oh, goodness, the Big 12. You are in some trouble. What in the world is going on with the Big 12? Yes, I know they're looking to bring in some new teams to the Big 12. I get it. They're looking to bring in someone that would maybe, give them, we could have a championship game if we brought in two more teams. So far, Big 12's not looking too good. Oklahoma, of course, week one, lost to Houston. I will give this to Oklahoma. They have enough of a schedule that if they go on a run, they could still possibly play themselves into a playoff situation. It happened early. If you're going to lose early. Oklahoma loses to Houston. Lost to Houston, and Houston, put up some points. TCU barely beat an FCS opponent in week one, and then this past week, they gave a game away to Arkansas. But then Oklahoma State, that mess is the worst. If you didn't catch the Oklahoma State fiasco, if you missed that, here's kind of what happened. Oklahoma State is up 27-23. It is fourth down, There are just 4 seconds remaining. And Oklahoma State goes back. The quarterback goes back and just throws the ball out of bounds. Hey, it's going to kill the clock. Clock's going to run out. That's going to be the end of the game. The refs called it intentional grounding. Yes, it was intentional grounding, but that should be the end of the game. The officials, though, and these are MAC officials. These are, you know, this was against Central Michigan. Central Michigan is in the MAC. The MAC officials then awarded the Central Michigan offense 1 untimed down. Now, if you wonder why they did that, the rule is that a game can't end on a defensive penalty. We throw the bomb down into the end zone and you pull our guy down, pass interference, game can't end on a defensive penalty, so you are awarded an untimed down. That's not what this was. This was an offensive penalty, but there was a turnover on it because it was fourth down. Central Michigan took over around the 50-yard line or so, and the refs gave them 1 untimed down. And then this happened.
He's in a shotgun. 3 players lined up essentially by the goal line. Rush stepping up, throwing to Kroll, catches the lateral. Here comes Willis. Willis racing to the end zone. Touchdown! Unbelievable! Central Michigan does it!
Now, you can sit there and you can be mad about the MAC officials awarding this untimed down to Central Michigan. But here's the thing. The replay officials are Big 12 officials. They didn't stop the play. Of course, Central Michigan won the game 30-27 and took a huge bite out of Oklahoma State's title hopes. And you know the worst thing about it? They might have taken the Big 12 out of any sort of title contention. Both crews, both the Big 12 and the MAC crews, have been suspended. Oh, it was a rough week for the Big 12. It's been a rough start to the season for the Big 12. They've got to hope they can bounce back and find a couple wins. Things not going well in Big 12 country. You know, as bad of a week as it was in week 2, we didn't have very many good games. We've got some pretty interesting games coming up in week 3. I know, unless you're just a football junkie, unless you're just college football junkie, you sit there and say, I don't know, there's a million games on. Are there any games really worth watching? I'm going to give you a few games actually worth watching. Few that coming up this weekend, you're going to want to make sure that you tune in for. I just talked about them a minute ago. Louisville, number 10, hosting number 2, Florida State. Florida State looks like they may be a title contender, legitimately. Don't sleep on Louisville. They are pretty good, really, really fast defense, really, really explosive quarterback in Lamar Jackson. He might be putting himself into Heisman consideration. Number 22, Oregon, goes to Nebraska. I'm not sure quite where to put Nebraska. They played Wyoming. They looked okay. Oregon, we know they can put up some points. Might be worth watching. I know Nebraska's unranked, but that might be worth watching. Number 12, Michigan State goes to number 18, Notre Dame. Of course, Notre Dame dropped that early game to Texas. Tight game, close game. Now they're trying to figure, I guess DeShone Kizer is going to be the guy at quarterback for Notre Dame. Michigan State, always good up on the front, always good offensive lines, always good defensive line. Mark D'Antonio, one of the best coaches in college football today. 2 big games this week. Number 3, Ohio State goes to, yes, that Big 12 team, number 14, Oklahoma. Should be a great, great game there. I don't know about that one. Ohio State at Oklahoma. And then the other big game, number 1, Alabama goes to number 19, Ole Miss. I'm going to give you some picks this week. Usually, if there's no one else on with me, I don't give picks. I'm going to give you some picks. I'm going to say, I'm going to take Florida State over Louisville. I'll take Florida State over Louisville. I'm going to take Nebraska pulling the upset on Oregon. I'm going to take Notre Dame at home to Michigan State. I am going to take Oklahoma at home to Ohio State. Now, the only reason I'm going to do that, Ohio State's pretty young. I think Oklahoma will bounce back. I'm going to take Oklahoma. And then Alabama at Ole Miss. Don't forget, Ole Miss has been beating Alabama. It's become a yearly tradition. Go down to the Grove, get yourself beat. Play Ole Miss at home, get yourself beat. Ole Miss has been owning Alabama. Alabama's winning this game by 3 touchdowns. I'm telling you right now, I have no faith whatsoever in Ole Miss getting it done this week. Alabama, I think, is going to drill Ole Miss. And if you think Nick Saban's a jerk now, wait till you see the score he tries to run up on them this week. Locally, here in Colorado, not a whole lot to talk about. CSU, I don't know, they might have been moved down to FCS. Air Force is always scrappy, but at the end of the day, it's Air Force. You know, Colorado, the University of Colorado, quietly putting together a couple of back-to-back big wins. Granted, one of them was over Colorado State, so I don't, you know, FCS school. And then I think they beat, like, Idaho State or something. But they've blown both teams out. This week, CU goes to Michigan, plays in the Big House. We'll actually get to see them against some competition. I think we all know how that's going to go, don't we? They're going to be up there singing Maize and Blue over and over and over again. But hey, it's been fun so far for CU. All right, we've got to jump over to the first week of NFL football. How good was the opening week of NFL? Oh my goodness. You know, we kind of got a preview on Thursday night. Of course, the Denver Broncos faced Carolina Panthers. Crazy game, tight game, crazy finish. And it kind of just set the stage for the rest of the weekend because that's exactly what happened all weekend long. Well, until, you know, Monday night. But think about this. 11 games decided by just one score. Four different games decided by just a single point. Now, here's the thing. If you lost in week one, you're just 0-1. It's not going, well, there goes the season. But we overreact so bad to these initial, we don't have much to talk about. We only have 16 weeks in the season. There's 17 with the bye, whatever. We don't have that much to talk about. So 1 week happens and we totally overreact. You turn on any of the sports networks. You turn on your local sports talk radio. Everybody's completely overreacting to everything. Here's the thing. If you lost in week one, you're just 0-1. The only thing that really, really hurts you in week one is if you lost at home to a division team. Other than that, it doesn't really hurt you that much. You're just 0-1. Let's see. The Falcons lost to Tampa at home. That hurts a little bit more than usual. The Cowboys lost at home to the Giants. That hurts a little bit down the stretch. Other than that, I don't know if there are any gigantic, major, huge losses. I mean, you're 0-1. Go on. But right now, you know, overreaction Monday, we just don't have much to talk about. So we overreact to everything. I'm going to give you a few things that we overreact on. Oh, and by the way, before we get to the overreactions, Robert Griffin III out at least 8 to 10 weeks. Now, we did our NFL preview show. I was joined by Larry from Centennial. We did our preview show, and I set the over-under for Robert Griffin to be hurt at week 5. We both bet the under. He didn't even get through the first week before he went down like Hillary Clinton at a campaign stop. Oh, brutal. Robert Griffin, you are just not meant to play football. He sees these gigantic linemen and are like, well, you know, when I was younger, in high school, I always ran these guys over. It's not high school anymore. I honestly think that a lot of these spread guys, that's what's killing their careers. You look at a lot of these guys that ran the spread offense back in high school and in college, and they say, you know, when I was in high school, I would run right over a defensive tackle. I was bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone. Yet this is the NFL, which, as we all know, means not for long when you try to run over defensive players because they're going to beat you up.
Oh,
Robert Griffin, we hardly knew you. Okay, let's get to the overreactions about the week. Because now, of course, we're getting a million overreactions. Turn on any show, they're overreacting to everything. Here we go. We're going to overreact to everything. And I'm going to tell you why we're overreacting. First overreaction. The NFL doesn't care about player safety. Did you see how many times the Denver Broncos hit Cam Newton? Hit him in the face, hit him in the head, kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. The NFL, they've got to do something about this player safety rule. They've got to figure out. The guy up in the booth has got to call down and get that guy off the field. There is a player safety issue here. We have got to get this taken care of. We're seeing these guys, they're getting head injuries. Cam Newton looked like he had a head injury and he just kept playing. Slow down. Here's the problem. I'm going to give you a couple different problems about the whole player safety thing. First off, Cam Newton runs a lot. He gets outside the pocket. We saw all night he was gouging Denver's defense again and again with his running. That spread offense stuff, he's lowering his head and he runs. He gets to the outside. Denver defenders look at him and say, hey, this is a big, strong dude. I've got to hit him. Now, if they take a couple penalties in the process, so be it, but we've got to hit him. And so that's what they did. They hit him again and again. Here's the thing that we have to figure out as a society. We have to figure this out. And if you don't hear anything else on this podcast today, hear this. No one cares about NFL player safety. I will say it again. No one cares about NFL player safety. You say, wait a second. I care about player safety. I'm just a fan, but I don't want to see Cam Newton damaged for life. Okay, so here's the new rule. You're no longer allowed to hit quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch on Sunday. I think I might go do something else. New rule, no more hitting. Yeah, I don't think I'm watching anymore. I might watch for another season, but if there's no hitting in the NFL, I mean, these guys are gladiators. That's what I'm paying for, right? Yeah, I don't think I'm watching football anymore. Well, I guess the fans don't really care about, you know, player safety. Well, what about the players? The players care about player safety. We see players get hit in the head, and they grab their ankle because they don't want to leave the game. We all know they didn't get hit in the ankle. They got hit in the head. They grabbed their ankle because they want to stay in the game. Hey, look, I understand it. You got to keep getting those checks. You can only get paid for so long in your career. That window is small. But let's be real clear. They don't care about player safety either. They want to get back on the field and keep getting those checks. They don't care about player safety. The only guys that care about player safety are the players that have gotten hurt. Well, the league cares about player safety. They're starting to put in these rules. You can't hit the quarterback in the head. You can't hit these defenseless receivers. All these kind of rules. The league cares about player safety, don't they? Nope. You know what they care about? They care about getting sued. They don't care one ounce about player safety. If they weren't getting sued, you'd be out there smashing each other in the head with a sledgehammer. As long as people were buying tickets, the league could care less. Well, okay. So the fans don't care about player safety. The players, they're trying to get paid. The league, they're just worried about getting sued. But hey, say whatever you want. The players' union cares about player safety. No, they don't. The players' union cares about that next big contract. That's all they care about. Because here's the thing. If the players' union really cared about player safety, they'd say, hey, this next season, our guys aren't wearing helmets. Our guys aren't wearing shoulder pads. We're going to make sure our guys are safe. Because if you take these helmets off these guys, injuries are going to drop way, way, way down. You think they're going to do that? No. You know why? Because no one would watch it. At the end of the day, everyone is just about money. No one cares one bit about these player safety. Oh, maybe their spouses do. Maybe their families do. Or maybe some of the players that have seen their own mortality in the mirror and say, man, I'm walking into rooms and I don't remember why. Maybe they care. Nobody else cares. So let's get off the whole player safety thing because we're all kidding ourselves. Yes, you too. Yes, me too. Hey, I'm as guilty as anyone. I love seeing the big hits. I guess I don't care that much about player safety either. Hey, here's another overreaction. The San Diego Chargers suck. The Chargers led 24-3 at Kansas City and somehow found a way to lose in overtime. But I will say this. They do look improved. Melvin Gordon kind of resembled an NFL running back, and Phillip Rivers is a dangerous quarterback. And when he has weapons around him, and I know he lost Keenan Allen on Sunday, when he has weapons around him, Phillip Rivers is still dangerous, usually in a big loss. You know, he's really gutsy in a loss. But San Diego does look like they are better. They don't look like the 4-12 or 5-11 or whatever team they were last year. You sleep on the Chargers, you might get beat. Another overreaction for you. Did you see Philadelphia Eagles rookie quarterback Carson Wentz? Oh my goodness. He is the next great quarterback. He's going to be rookie of the year. Carson Wentz went 22-37 for 278 yards and 2 touchdowns. And you know, so many times we see young quarterbacks scared to throw it down the field. Think of the young quarterbacks in the league starting off this season. You got the Dak Prescotts, you got the Trevor Siemians, you got a number of these young guys that come out. What do? They don't throw down the field. They check down, hey, I got to make a safe play. Coach told me I got to make a safe play. So they're throwing the little screens. They're throwing the little out patterns. They're looking for their tight end. Hey, Carson Wentz went out and he threw it down the field. He just chucked it wherever he wanted to, and the Eagles won their home opener. But you don't get to play the Cleveland Browns every week. So let's slow down on the whole Carson Wentz is going to be the next great. He might be good. I don't have any idea. But I know that I would say you were playing the JV team. You were kind of playing like the freshman team playing the Cleveland Browns. Slow down on the call. Carson Wentz is going to be the next Joe Montana. Not quite yet. Let's see a little more from him. More than just one game. Little overreaction there. Hey, Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings are going to be just fine without Teddy Bridgewater. They beat Tennessee 25-16. Here's my caution for Minnesota. Because I know now with Teddy Bridgewater out, you're playing Sean Hill, maybe you're playing Sam Bradford, I don't know. But the Tennessee Titans were able to hold Adrian Peterson to just 31 yards. Now, I know the Titans are getting better. What in the world is a good defense going to do against Adrian Peterson? If they stack the box and they held him to 31 yards, what's it going to be like when you play some of the big dogs? What's going to be like when you play a Seattle? 31 yards to Tennessee? That'd worry me just a little bit if I'm Minnesota. Another overreaction. Oakland Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio. Did you see the gutsy move? Oh, ESPN is fawning all over this move. What a gutsy move. You know, the Raiders scored late to tie the game against New Orleans. And instead of kicking the extra point, I should say, they scored late to get within a point of New Orleans. And instead of kicking the extra point, Jack Del Rio, because he's a gambler, he's a swashbuckler, he decided to go for two, and they got it. Oakland Raiders win week one, 35-34. Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Drew Brees and that New Orleans offense were going up and down and up and down and up and down that field. Which would you rather take your chances with if you're Jack Del Rio? Derek Carr and your young but talented offense, or the defense versus Drew Brees, the way they were moving that way? When you look at it that way, and it's on the road. Hey, I'm not going to overtime against Drew Brees. They get the opening kickoff. He's going to go down and score a touchdown. That's going to be the end of the game. There's no way I'm kicking that extra point. Maybe not quite as gutsy. I'll give Del Rio a little bit of credit, but maybe not quite as gutsy as some of the sports networks are telling us it was. Oh, this was an all-time. No, it wasn't. It was just common sense. You're on the road, and your defense has played horrible, and you're playing against one of the best quarterbacks in the game today. Yeah, I'm going to go for two every single time. Because otherwise, I'm going home with a loss in week one to a team that went like 5-11 last year. Slow down on Jack Del Rio. Nice win. Good job. Way to go, Raiders. I had Raider fans really mad at us about our preview this past week. Said that we were picking on the Raiders because we didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl. It's okay, Raider fan. It's all right. Go put your Ewok costume on. You'll be fine. Tampa Bay might be this year's Carolina Panthers. They got a good young quarterback. They got a solid running game. Very good wide receivers. Those two wide receivers, Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, two very good wide receivers. Hey, you can just throw the ball up and they will go get it. Could Tampa be making a huge run this year? Could Tampa be a team that maybe sneaks into the playoffs? Maybe is even a Super Bowl contender? Maybe. Maybe, possibly. But I will say this, Atlanta is a mess. And Matty Ice looks more like Matty Zima these days. You know, it sounded good when it first came out, but now it kind of sucks once you actually try it. I'm not sure about Matty Ice. He's looking a lot more like Matty Zima. I like what Tampa's doing. I like what they've done so far. Defense still isn't very good, and you played a pretty bad team. Atlanta Falcons, not great. Let's see Tampa play some better teams first. I'll give you another overreaction. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be a contender with Dak Prescott. I don't know if you saw this on Sunday, but Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys almost beat the Giants. Yeah, they did. Almost. I don't know if that's the... I guess the Giants are the class of the NFC East. I don't know. But here's the thing. I told you that ginger Ivy League coach likes to show everyone how smart he is every single week. And that instead of just handing the ball to whatever running back he has, he's got Ezekiel Elliott right now, but it doesn't matter who he has. Every single year, he goes out and he's like, well, yeah, we got a really big offensive line, really strong offensive line, good run blockers. We've got a great running back. But you know what? I really want to show everybody how smart I am with my great passing offense. You got to see my brilliant passing system to really appreciate it. He won't hand off. You say, how do you hide a defense that doesn't always seem to be that great? Well, you run the ball. You eat the clock. You don't give the other team the ball, and you don't let them get into a rhythm because we're chewing up the clock. Dak Prescott, a rookie quarterback, fifth-round quarterback, threw 45 passes on Sunday. 45? 45 passes is too many for Tony Romo, let alone a rookie quarterback. Once again, that ginger Ivy League coach does not get it. He's going to show you how smart he is, though. Yeah, He's not that smart. Now, here's another overreaction you might be getting. And if you're a Cowboys fan, I apologize in advance. One of the big overreactions we might be getting is that Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Terrence Williams might be the dumbest player in NFL history.
Underneath, Williams has got to get out of bounds, and he doesn't.
He makes a mistake, Joe. He had a chance as soon as he caught it. He
could have gotten out. One, game over. Giants win.
Yes, not the smartest play by Terrence Williams to try to get a couple extra yards when there was only like 3 seconds left on the clock. You had to make a beeline straight for the sideline. But even if he does run directly out of bounds, you're looking at like a 58, 59-yard kick. It's not like that was going to be a done deal and he just botched everything and cost the Cowboys a chance to win the game. That had already kind of been lost. If he runs directly out of bounds, and if you look at that play again, watch the body angle of New York Giants cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. He kind of takes an angle, kind of forcing Williams to the middle. He starts to try to get up there and take away the sideline. He almost would have had to run a little bit backward to go out of bounds directly. And if he does, you're looking at like a 60-yarder to even have a shot at winning that game. So slow down. Yes, I'm not defending Terrence Williams' intelligence too much. Should have got out of bounds, trying to make too much happen. There was no way you were going to score. But I don't know that he'd necessarily cost you the game. I don't think that he did. A couple more overreactions here that we do have. Andrew Luck, Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck is back. He's healthy. And the Colts, yes, they start off a little bit slow. But the Colts, I mean, Andrew Luck is back and he looked very, very good. 31 of 47, 385 yards, 4 touchdowns. Andrew Luck is back and better than ever. But the Colts still lost because the rest of the team isn't very good. And if the rest of the team isn't very good, then we know it's just a matter of time before we start seeing Andrew Luck having to make play after play after play after play because he doesn't have enough help. And then we start seeing Andrew Luck taking hit after hit after hit. And eventually we see Andrew Luck's liver or spleen or whatever it is decide, yeah, you know what? I don't know how you're feeling this year, but I'm going to go ahead and shut it down for the season. I think I'll go on IR. That's what worries me. I was watching a lot of that game against Detroit, and Andrew Luck trying to make big plays, trying to come up with a way to get the Colts back in the game after the Lions took a big early lead, he's taking some big shots. He gets out and he scrambles, and then he throws it away, but he throws it away so late that he still gets decked. I thought the point of throwing it away was so you wouldn't get hit. Andrew Luck still hasn't figured that out. Again, smart guy. He went to Stanford. Throw it away when the guy doesn't hit you in the throat. That might actually be some pretty good advice. All right. Our last overreaction for the week, Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins were up late in Seattle, couldn't get it done again. Can the Dolphins ever just come through in the clutch? Can Ryan Tannehill ever come through in the clutch? It sure doesn't seem like it, does it? Well, no, actually, you're right. That's not an overreaction. That's absolutely true. Ryan Tannehill can't get it done. He's been in the league. I think this is his seventh season. He hasn't gotten anything done yet. Miami Dolphins. You just fail every single year. They have a ton of talent in Miami. That defense particularly is loaded. And they found a way to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. They found a way to limit that Seattle offense, to shut down the running game for the most part. Big play has to be made. Ryan Tannehill is not the guy to get done. Never has been, and apparently never will be. I'm sorry, Dolphins fans. I wanted to give you something positive. I wanted to say, well, that's a little bit of an overreaction, but I'm going to be honest. No, that sounds about right. Coming up in week 2, a couple of games maybe to keep an eye on. Thursday night game might be a little more interesting than usual. New York Jets go to Buffalo to face the Bills, and you might see that and say, well, who cares? Because as much as we overreact and as much as we say it doesn't matter, can't we also kind of say, well, the AFC East with the Patriots beating Arizona on Sunday night, can't we already say, well, that division's already kind of locked up? Doesn't it already feel like that? Doesn't it feel like we could pretty much say, that's over? But the New York Jets took a loss in week 1 to Cincinnati. The Buffalo Bills lost in week 1 to Baltimore. They face each other on Thursday night. Not a horrible game. Can either one of these teams get a wild card berth? I guess already in week 2, we're looking at that. I'll tell you a couple of matchups I really, really like this week. Cincinnati goes to Pittsburgh. We know Cincinnati, very, very talented. Pittsburgh, that offense looks nearly unstoppable. Should be an interesting game there. Dallas goes to Washington this week. that NFC East is a mess. I would imagine if you go 8-8, you might win the division over there. So keep an eye on Dallas at Washington. San Francisco 49er fans have to be feeling pretty good. They get a week one win over the Los Angeles Rams. They go to Carolina. We'll see how that goes. Just spoke about Miami and Ryan Tannehill. Now they get to go to New England and see if they can find a way to beat the New England Patriots. Kansas City, the Chiefs go to Houston in a playoff game rematch. We remember what happened last time. Brian Hoyer down at Houston stunk up the joint and turned it over like 5, 6, 7, 8 times against Kansas City. Brock Osweiler looked okay in week one. So we'll see what happens over there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we like what we saw in week one. They get to go to Arizona and play what I can only imagine is a very upset Arizona Cardinal team that got thumped by the New England Patriots JV team. Be interesting to see what Tampa Bay can do there. The Indianapolis Colts come to Denver and face the Broncos. Colts, for whatever reason, the Indianapolis Colts seem to have the Broncos number. It doesn't matter what, like, Denver can beat the Patriots. Denver can beat Pittsburgh. Denver can beat, they seem like they can't beat the Indianapolis Colts. We'll see if Andrew Luck can kind of prove that he has enough of a team around him. Monday night game this week, Philadelphia, Chicago. So I don't know what you have going on Monday night, but I have something else going on Monday night because I won't be watching that debacle. You know, some teams you feel like you can eliminate and say, yeah, they probably won't win with playoffs. I was so disappointed in what I saw from Chicago. Chicago and the Los Angeles Rams might have been the two biggest disappointments for me. Well, Cleveland, but I knew Cleveland would be horrible. Chicago and the Rams just looked dreadful. Okay. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, I don't know if you watched the Monday night games. Of course, Pittsburgh throttled Washington. And then San Francisco beat up on those Los Angeles Rams. That's not really my point. The key play I want to talk about was actually the announcing of Kevin Harlan. If you didn't see it, some nut goes out on the field, some crazy person goes out on the field and is running around and taking his shirt off and doing whatever in the middle of the game. Now, a lot of times, the announcers will just say, hey, some nuts on the field, we'll wait until they get him off and then we'll continue the broadcast. Kevin Harlan is an NFL announcer and he just ran with it and his announcing was gold. If you haven't heard it, you've got to hear it. This clip comes to us via Westwood One.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
You know, I heard that during the game. And I started thinking about some of the best announcers that have ever worked NFL games. And I'll be honest, I won't lie. A little bit of transparency. I don't always listen to the announcers during NFL games. Honestly, I have people come up to me, don't you just hate Phil Simms or don't you just hate Joe Buck? I'm like, honestly, I barely hear him. See, the key to being a good announcer, it's not just enough to have knowledge. It's not just enough to be clever. You have to understand the game. You have to be able to paint a clear picture of the game. And sometimes you have to be able to just let the game speak for itself. Al Michaels is so good at the play-by-play. I mean, he paints a great picture. He knows when to be quiet. He knows when to step back and just let the moment dictate the sound. And then Chris Collinsworth, I know people don't like him. He's too smug. He seems like a jerk, whatever. He has the ability, and I understand this as a coach, he has the ability to understand what all 22 players did on the field on any given play. Dude's vision is amazing. As a coach, I know when we would go scouting, and I'm coaching basketball, I'm trying to see what all 10 different players are doing on a given play. Chris Collinsworth has an eye for doing that. He is able to see some things really, really well, and that allows him to give some insight into the game that you might not get otherwise. You might not like him, you might think he's too smug or whatever. Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, as good as it gets. Like I said, though, I'm not a huge announcer guy. But I started thinking back this week, with the opening week of the NFL season, and I started to think about some of my favorite announcers that I've ever heard. Some of the announcers, that if I was like, if I had one game and I got to pick the announcer for that game, here's a couple of the guys that I would pick. And I have come up with my Daily Dose top five favorite NFL announcers. I'm not saying they're the best. You might hate them. You might hear them and go, oh, no, I can't stand that guy. But I'm telling you, they're some of my favorites. They're some of the announcers that if I had to pick an announcer for one game, I'm probably going to go with one of the people on this list. Pretty good group that I've put together here. You're going to enjoy it. Number five on our list, Daily Dose top five favorite NFL announcers. He doesn't do the NFL anymore. He does some college hoops now. But I'm telling you right now, if Gus Johnson was on a broadcast, I don't know what it was about that guy. You were guaranteed you were going to have like this incredible finish. And if you're going to have a great finish, Gus Johnson is the guy that you want to be on the mic because his excitement, it's genuine. You can tell he is genuinely a fan of the games that he is watching. He doesn't do the NFL anymore. Still does some college basketball and stuff. And if he's on the mic, you know that game's coming down to the finish, guaranteed. But when Gus Johnson was doing NFL, nothing quite like his excitement.
Orton in the gun. Buckhalter right next to him. Orton pumps again to the sideline. Batted up. Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
That clip comes to us via CBS, and I'm telling you, I remember watching that game, but I remember watching a lot of Gus Johnson's games that he was announcing. You can't fake that. Like, you can't pretend to be into that. He really, really felt that. You know, another thing that makes a great NFL announcer is you want a little bit of local flavor with that hometown team. Now, I'm not talking about just a blatant homer. I'm not talking about every single call that goes against your team is a bad call, and every single call that goes for your team is a great call. But I'm talking about a guy that paints the picture with a little bit of local flavor. And a guy who seems like he kind of sort of fits in with the team. The guy that was as good at doing that as anyone was Bill King with the Oakland Raiders. I'm not a Raider fan, but if you ever heard Bill King do a broadcast, he had, for one, he had a distinct voice. But the other part of it was, remember those Oakland Raider fans where the players were all kind of nuts and we knew Al Davis was kind of crazy? Bill King seemed like he might have been just as crazy as the players on the team. And when he did a broadcast, it kind of felt like it was actually a Raider doing the broadcast. He had some of the best lines ever, like this one that we got from NFL.com.
The crowd takes up a chant of defense. Robiski and Banaszak are the back. Slot right. Branch inside. Bradshaw, Stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Casper grabbing the ball. It is rolled a fumble. Casper has recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most zany, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play. Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here. He does.
Bill King, definitely one of the all-time great NFL announcers. You know, this next group, and it was actually a duo that, I've got groups the rest of the way. This next group, they did a ton of NBC games back in the 80s. And as a young Denver Broncos fan, I pretty much got to hear them almost every single week. It wasn't that they were a local broadcast, but I mean, Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen, great knowledge of the game. Enberg, you know, Enberg's, oh my, was just kind of that catchphrase that you just love to hear. Merlin Olsen had a genuine understanding and just seemed like a truly nice man. These guys were just an easy listen. It felt like you were sitting at home with your grandpa, and they were just nice guys that painted a great picture. But as you listen to this call from 1989, the fumble game, the Denver Broncos versus the Cleveland Browns in the AFC Championship game, you just kind of get a feeling, the excitement and the passion that they had for the game. Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen would definitely be on my list.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner.
Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my. Or have they? Let's wait for the official, Don Pylum.
There's a war going on under that stack.
There it is. Denver's ball at the 2-yard line. Beiner had the first and goal and lost the ball.
I always felt bad. Always felt bad for Ernest Beiner in that. He was the whole reason that the Cleveland Browns got back in that game, and then he put the ball on the ground as he was heading into the end zone. We are down to the number two favorite NFL announcers of all time here on the Daily Dose. And I'm telling you right now, it wasn't that I liked this group. It was not that I liked them. I'll be honest. For the most part, I hated them. Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, and Don Meredith on Monday Night Football. Especially Howard. Howard Cosell, I don't know. He was kind of mean. He was demeaning. They say if he liked you, he really liked you. And if he didn't, he was outright cruel to you. Weird, weird guy. Most accounts of people he didn't like. He was just a mean, mean guy. But when they came to your town at that time, Monday Night Football was an event. It was memorable. It was big. I mean, think of some of the people that they would interview on Monday Night Football, from actors and movie stars to people like John Lennon, people like Richard Nixon. It was a huge event, Monday Night Football, with Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, and Don Meredith. Hey, got no bigger than them. You might have hated them. You might have thrown the sponge bricks at your TV when they came on. But you definitely listen to them each and every week. I think this one really kind of captures Howard Cosell.
Oakland thought he could no longer throw the long ball. But watch him. Give him a weapon like 00 Kenny Burrow. He'll do just that.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Howard Cosell. And it is the typically wind-blown Candlestick Park. And frankly, I am cold.
That's number two on our list. Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, Don Meredith. I mean, that group, when they went on Monday Night Football, it was an event and you had to be there. You had to see it. I wasn't always a fan, but yeah, I liked hearing them. There was something about them. All right, who could it be? Who could our number one favorite NFL announcer be on the Daily Dose top five this week? Who else could it be? Who else could it be? They were football. It's got to be Pat Summerall and John Madden. Yes, John Madden. A little bit cheesy, sometimes a little bit, I don't know, sticky, but he was entertaining and he did know the game. Pat Summerall in his prime, I mean, he was as sharp as it got, knew the game, had a great, great voice for the game, and it seemed like they played so well off of each other, with Madden kind of being the goofball and Summerall kind of being the straight man. They were as entertaining as it gets. And if you were watching football in like the 90s or whatever, there was no better duo than John Madden and Pat Summerall.
Redskins and Cowboys play on Thanksgiving Day. We'll be there.
Encroachment, 78, defense, still first down.
Encroachment, heck, that's more encroachment when you go that far.
Yeah.
When you're the big old big cat, you got all this stuff going. You go whap, 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 whap. That's more than encroachment.
Big Cat went creeping.
Yeah, he's anticipating. When you end up way back there, you got to have another word for it.
Isn't it just kind of funny how you hear those guys and it takes you back to where you were when you were listening to those clips when they happened? You can hear those voices. You can hear those announcers. And you might not have heard them for 20 years, but you hear those voices and you just go, oh, man, I remember watching those games and hearing those sports announcers. There is our Daily Dose top five favorite NFL announcers of all time. Hey, next week on the show, again, we've got a full slate of college football. And like I told you, we've got some good, good games coming up this week. Gonna have to recap those. The NFL got a pretty solid week coming up in the NFL. We might have to try to track down NFL writer Dylan Brooks and see if we can get his thoughts on the NFL so far. We'll see if we can put that together. You know, Major League Baseball is slowly starting to get a little bit interesting. Might have to talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. And of course, like you just heard, we always have to stick around for our Daily Dose top five. You never know where that's going to go. Hey, if you get a chance, wherever it is that you go download the podcast from, please stop by and give us just a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. If you would like to reach out to us, if you would like to contact us, of course, you can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We heard from Mike from Austin earlier. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if you've got a suggestion, we would love to hear from you. And of course, you can also follow us and keep up with us on Twitter and Facebook. Both of those handles are @DailyDoseSports. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.